Hi there. Hi there. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Angela, and this is the Alana Song Hopes of Heaven podcast. And I have a guest today who I am very excited to have on the podcast. This is Chloe, I'm sorry, Mello Garcia. I am correct in saying that, yes.
Yes.
And her daughter is Chloe. And Mello has come together and done great things for her daughter in honor of her daughter, as far as grief and surviving each day, living life with this grief that we know firsthand of this life of walking this grief life. So I'm just excited to have you on. I have looked at your Instagram, and I was just going through and just was I just had to have you on the show because your page is just so wonderful. And of course, I felt an automatic connection because I lost Alana in 2015. You started your movement in 2015. And I'm just going to give you the floor. I have created this podcast, this space for angel moms to just come in, talk about their babies, to help us through this walk. Your story is going to help strengthen me, it's going to help heal me and angel moms all around the globe. So I am so excited to have you on, and I'm just going to give you the floor and let you talk about your baby, whatever it is you want to say, and talk about the movement. And I'll intervene here and there, but for the most part, the floor is all yours. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Angela. Thank you for having me. It's always a beautiful thing when grief moms come together, and there's kind of this unspoken understanding and this connection that goes without saying. I'm a big proponent of always sharing with anyone in grief and loss is that it's such a lonely individual journey. But I tend to believe that grief parents, mothers, fathers, have an unspoken bond due to really just going through something that, not everyone faces. It's not natural to lose your child. It's not natural when a child dies, a baby dies. And so, because that's not natural, it kind of means that society feels shame and discomfort in talking about it. And so when I lost Chloe in 2011, I had her premature 24 weeks gestation. And so I was exactly 6 months to the day, and Chloe was born premature, and she started thriving, and she ended up passing away 57 days later. And instantly, I wanted to feel validated in what I was feeling. And unfortunately, that there wasn't a lot of resources and tools. And I went to 14 different therapists and counselors, and none of them really understood about what I personally was feeling. And there's a difference between understanding and validating versus trying to tell somebody how they're supposed to move along in their grief.
Exactly.
And so I really began to notice and understand that grief is kind of taboo in our society around the world. And it makes people really uncomfortable
It
when you have
does.
a dead baby or you refer as an angel baby or a baby who's transitioned or passed, or however a person feels comfortable in describing their own child's loss. And so I knew that I wanted to create a space and a resource where someone could come and talk about their child and understand that what they're feeling, whatever that is valid, and where they're at in their grief is valid, and what they do with their grief is valid. And I'll be honest, like, I think when I started it, I was in such a tremendous amount of grief and resistance to really understand the finality that my daughter was gone and she was not going to thrive. She was not going to grow up. She was never going to be earthside again. And when I started, I had no idea of the impact or the opportunities or the healing that I would do throughout this process. Yes. And I realized that I probably needed it far more than anyone else, because at the time, now there's so much, there's so many resources, and we are breaking the stigma of talking about infant death, miscarriage, and child loss, but it's still a stigma. And so I think that there's so many amazing resources. I always say, you know, I just got done February 22nd, honoring Chloe, because it was the 12th year that she's left, that she died. And so I always say, wow, I wish I had that resource, or, oh, I wish I could have listened to Alana's Song podcast when I first lost Chloe. So I know that there are so many amazing resources. But when I started in 2015, there wasn't, I was a little bit of a lone ranger. And so other than a few resources that I can think off the top of my head, I always felt kind of isolated because I did not have children after Chloe. Oh. I did not try again after Chloe. I was very bound to understand and to really receive that I was meant to be Chloe's mom. Mm-hmm. And I was okay with that. But now I always think, well, should I have tried? Should I have had another child? Mm-hmm. And obviously it's not to replace, but it's, you know, I think about it now. And today I'm in a space where I think I could have had another child and been okay. But back then I just was not in that headspace. And so I realized that we all kind of take our grief and loss differently yes. at times, and we process it, and what we do with it is what we do with it. And so starting after Chloe, I didn't have an intention of it being anything other than an outlet and a space for people to discuss their grief and for them to understand that their feelings are valid. And so I remember when I first got 100 Instagram friends, I went and told Chloe's dad, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be on Oprah's lawn. I have 100 people that are embarking on this journey with me. And that's how innocent, and I think just kind of not knowing. And so obviously over time, after Chloe just kind of got a motion of its own, obviously Instagram's like my space. That's where I go. That's where I feel safe. But, you know, obviously with TikTok and Pinterest and Facebook, which I'm not a big Facebook booker, if that's what you call it. Uh-huh. But at that point, I knew that I wanted to educate, and not only educate lost parents, but also educate anyone who has somebody that's grieving in their lives, mm-hmm. and to make people understand that grief and loss is not something that we should be treated or isolated from. We should be embraced and accepted exactly where we are. And, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote The 5 Stages of Grief. She wrote it about hospice patients. It was really originated for hospice. And so I think along the way, a lot of mental health providers, they look to that 5 stages and kind of made a guideline mm-hmm. of what people are supposed to react to and how they're supposed to grieve and what they're supposed to be feeling. And obviously David Kessler, you know, Chloe was in one of David Kessler's books, and David Kessler is like the godfather of grief. Yeah. And I would say that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is the godmother of grief. And with that, I know that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's intention was not to say, look, you have to fill these five ways through these five stages, but instead to say, this may be what you're feeling. And it's okay if you're not, it's okay if you do, it's okay if you stay in one stage, it's okay if you don't. And I just could never be confined to those stages. While I do respect, definitely respect what she says, and obviously her theory, and it's well known. But I also think that we can't be tied into one set of motion or one set of stage. I am going to grieve all the rest of my life.
Exactly.
And I am going to be healing and to be surviving and to be thriving and to be still and to be alone and to be all of those things for the rest of my life. There's never not a moment that I am not aware that my daughter's not with me.
Same page. Understand.
So with all of that, you have to learn what works for you, and what works for me may not work for you, Angela, and may not work for whoever's listening. And so I think it's all with what you resonate. And as I look through After Chloe and I look at all the content that's been produced and made, you can kind of see my transition where, you know, sometimes I am accepting of that I live in this grief. Sometimes I really struggle with living in grief, but all the time I'm always missing my child and both of my parents, who also passed away within the 2 years that Chloe passed away.
Wow.
My dad died before her, and then my mother died after her, all within 2 years. And so I had to really grasp on to deciding, am I going to exist and just wait until I die to go and be with them in my mind? Or am I going to try to make a legacy for my child and create something that will have resources and a space far beyond my life, and far beyond to say that I walked this earth from the day that Chloe died, knowing that my grief is valid and knowing that my feelings are valid. And I want everyone else to know that if you've lost someone that you love, you are valid in whatever you feel. You are valid in however you act. If you didn't get up today, if you didn't shower, if you didn't get out of the bed, if you ate Jack in the Box tacos, or you ate McDonald's cheeseburgers all three times, and you gave your kids microwave meals because that's all you could do, that's okay. When it becomes not okay is when you feel bound to a specific way to grieve, when you feel tied to grieving in one set way. That's the only wrong thing to do in grief and loss.
Wow. Wow. So perfectly said. You just nailed it. You just hit it on the head. Perfectly said. A lot was in that package. I was just sitting, soaking it up, and just, you know, getting all the crumbs. So how long did it take you to say, okay, I got to get up and do something? I got to, you know, like you said, get this legacy going, you know, even though she's not here, I still want to help others in this space. Because people also try to put time on grief. Mm-hmm. Okay, Alana has been gone for 7 years. Okay, you still moping around? Or you still, you know, people still want to put that, okay. So I'm just curious because, you know, they look big, you know, big steps for me. And for anyone that's another mother that's watching, who's in the stages of, wow, I can't do that. Wow, look how far along she is in her journey. You know, there's no time frame. So let's kind of talk about.
Yeah, I really always say in After Chloe, or in the space of After Chloe, that time is a bad word. It's worse than the F word.
Yeah.
No, and I like the F word.
Yes.
I think that, You know, time is funny. I've really been resonating with the reality of time, that we think we have time.
Oh, yeah.
And we think that we're always going to have another time, or the next time, or I'll catch you later, or I'm not going to go today, but I'll go tomorrow. Wow. Or I'm going to call them to check on them, or I'm going to tell them to I love them next time.
Next time.
So with Chloe, my dad had died 8 months before she died. And then my mother died a year after that. And when they, all three of them were gone, I really didn't know or have an identity anymore.
Yeah.
And so I really had to really reinvent who Mello was, and who Mello was not as Chloe's mom, not as Adolf and Carolyn's daughter, not as the caretaker of my sick mother, not as the grieving mother, right, not as the one with the dead baby, not even as Chloe's dad's wife at the time. And so I really got lost in just losing myself,
yeah,
and losing every part of my life that I thought was going to be was no longer. And anyone that's going to say, well, you know, I went to therapy 3 times a week and I read this and this book and I did this and I went for a walk and I got fresh air. You know, I mean, God bless them, but that just wasn't me. I for a long time, I remember, and I should really do a podcast one day with the girl that used to be my hairstylist. And I still go to her salon, but she's not my stylist anymore. But I didn't comb my hair for years.
Yeah.
And I've been gray since I was 20. And so I always have to get my roots touched up. And I would just, the only time I would ever comb my hair is when she would touch up my roots or recolor my hair. And she was always so kind to me, but like, I totally gave up on my appearance. And so for a lot of years, I'll leave it at that because I don't want to give it a measure of time, but years, I just didn't even see myself anymore. I remember being in a grocery store one time and a man came up to me and I don't want to say he was flirting, but he was like, you know, propositioning me to go and have coffee. And I remember thinking like, is he crazy? Like, I haven't showered in like a week.
Yes.
And like, I don't even know if I brushed my teeth today. And I remember like looking at him and you know, he was taken aback and I was taken aback. And I think that I just really didn't think that I had any worth after my daughter died.
Yeah, I get it.
And so what happened where from 2011, when Chloe died, to 2015, I knew that whatever I was doing was not working.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't seem to find my way. And so I actually, I was very involved, still am to a degree, but very involved with March of Dimes. And there was this couple, and I guess they're very well known on YouTube. And so I had gone and I met them at a function. And then I came home and I started watching these YouTube videos. And there was this man, he was like the videographer for like Tony Robbins, Brandon Bouchard, all the big like business guys. And his name is Michael Gebbin. And so he started this thing called Jump Starters.
Okay.
So I went in and I went to him and I said, you know, but I don't have a logo and I don't know what I would do. And, you know, I still have to, because I was in the process of finishing my therapist, my master's in counseling, just so I could be a grief counselor. I never wanted to do family and couples. I just only wanted to do grief. And so there's not a lot. I think there's a semester and in that you get a few chapters on grief, but you really have to like want to specialize in grief. And so I was telling him, I don't know what would I do. And he's like, well, I want you to get on one platform.
Mm-hmm.
One platform. And he says, you know, I think you'd be great on video. And I'm thinking, again, haven't showered, I think, in a week. I think I showered when I had gone to that March of Dimes thing. I hadn't showered since then.
Since then.
Yeah. And so I was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And so we agreed on Instagram. And I remember, you know, just really going and just really talking about how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this app called Periscope. And so I went back to where Chloe had died for the first time. And I don't know what got into me, but I said, I'm going to go live on Periscope.
Mm-hmm.
And that video, I guess what you want to say now in today's age, it went viral. And when that happened, I found all these different lost moms, or these women that had lost their mothers,
yeah,
or that were going through a separation or a divorce, because me and Chloe's dad ended up separating. We're reconciled now, but we separated for a really long time because poor guy, I mean,
yeah,
I didn't want to shower anymore. I mean, and he's grieving his loss, and there's a lot to unpack there. And so anyhow, I started going on Periscope, and I would just talk about how I felt. And then throughout that time, I really started to take it a moment at a time.
Right.
Before that, I couldn't even fathom breathing. You know,
right.
I mean, theoretically I'm breathing, but I didn't breathe. Like I never remember having fun. I don't remember, like, if I heard myself laugh, I would just kind of, I was lost. I just was existing. And so going on Periscope and really getting to talk about how I felt and really just being able to process
mm-hmm.
a lot of the feelings that I felt were not valid and not, it wasn't right for me to be saying it out loud. I learned that all the feelings are valid. And so then I finished my degree, and one night, somebody on Periscope, because you could type in little things, kind of like TikTok Live, but
yeah.
And they said, why don't you have a course? And I said, well, I don't know what a course is. And so I went to my friend that it was a graphic designer, and she did all things after Chloe. And so she said, why don't I make you a PayPal link? And I said, okay. So I went on and I said, hey guys, I'm going to do like a month. I'll do one-on-one. It was something outrageous, and I'm going to charge $99.
Yeah.
And I went to bed, and the next morning I woke up and I had over, I think it was like 110.
Wow.
So you guys can do the math, 110 people that had signed up. And I thought,
wow,
that somebody had hacked my PayPal.
Right.
So I called them and they're like, no, they bought this. And, you know, so I remember, like, I'd email, like, I had no clue. And it's funny now, now I'm blessed with the whole team, but back then I did everything myself with Crystal. That's the person who's like my sister,
mm-hmm.
that I'm mentioning. And so I did that. And then I really just understood that there were so many people in pain.
Oh yeah.
And I think it was just me meeting myself exactly where I am. And a lot of the question I always get asked is, well, what is it about you, or what is it? I don't think it has anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that I have the courage or the desperation,
uh-huh,
to talk about my grief and my loss without hesitation, without apology, without embarrassment. I just can't hold it in.
Wow.
Because of how much I miss my child and my parents.
Wow. 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 And we come across that so often, where it's a silence thing for the moms that's in pain,
mm-hmm.
Which is the purpose of my podcast, is to show other angel moms, hey, we're out here, we're speaking, we're voicing our grief, we're voicing our pain. I've talked to so many other moms who they're so riddled with grief, which we get it. They feel as if I have no purpose. I'm lost. I'm in this hole. What do you mean, find a purpose in the loss of my child? I just want my kid back, you know? So that's very, very powerful, just to sit and listen to, hey, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just letting it come out. And as I spoke my truth, others came along. others came along. That's wonderful. That's what we need to hear. That's what we need to hear. So you spoke on your husband just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I hear that often, that grief can be so heavy, to whereas the spouse or the partner is ready to, I won't say get up and get moving, but I don't want to take away from a dad's grief. But when the mother has carried, I just feel like there's a different kind of understanding of what's like, you get it, but you don't get it. What was it? Did you guys just need time because he just didn't get it? Or was it a combination of things? Or if, you know, is that something you just don't want to touch on? I just know there's
mothers. No, we're like an open book.
Yeah.
It's like a proper over there. Yeah. No,
what could you say?
I think that, again, a problem with people that grieve is that we tend to underlying compare.
Okay.
It's just a natural, I think, reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Is to say, well, my loss isn't as big as their loss, or their loss isn't as big as my loss. And so what I know today, and to kind of go back and explain what happened, we are both Hispanic. Uh-huh. We come from very old school Mexican families.
Gotcha.
And a baby dying isn't something that you talk about. We are not taught to go to therapy. We are not sitting there talking about our feelings. And so when Chloe died, prior to that, maybe his oldest nephew, my husband's oldest nephew, our oldest nephew, he was murdered. Wow. And he died. And that was the first family member that they had ever dealt with. And then my dad died, and then Chloe died. And so and it's so funny because Chloe looked exactly like him. Like, I always call him my giant Chloe. Like, we didn't even know she was mine. I mean, thank God I had her, because otherwise we wouldn't know she was mine. We would have had to do a DNA test. Mm-hmm. But she very much looked like his mother and like him. And uh-huh. So when Chloe was born, we were in Las Vegas because we lived there, and I'd kind of gone back and forth because after my dad died, my mom was pretty sick. And so we happened to be in Las Vegas, and she was born, I think, like 5 days after Christmas. But when she was born, I was in one hospital and she was ambulanced to another hospital. And yeah. So he was the one that was with her. And so whenever he would walk into the room, her little heart monitor would go up, and she would little sweet eyes at him, look for him. And so he would go and visit her, like all the time, you know, because we were only allowed like in 2 hour increments. And so he would go and sit with her, and he would go and see her every day. And so I did not realize the amount of grief that he felt, because I think that in between my dad and Chloe dying and my mom, I'm going to use this word, but because I don't even like this word, but it's the only word I can use to describe. I went crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, I didn't want him to sit there. I didn't want him, like, his grief was not important. It was about me. And I just wanted to open the door and run. And yes. I don't know where I wanted to go. I remember when Chloe was dying, I took my phone. We just bought an iPhone so we could take pictures of her.
Uh-huh.
And I remember going through every contact in that phone because I just wanted someone to help me.
Yes.
So she wouldn't die.
Yes.
And he, on the other hand, thought he was having a heart attack, and she died in his arms, and they experienced their own relationship, and he was grieving in his own way. After she died, we came back to California, and he went to Las Vegas and he picked up her ashes and he brought them back. And while I was pregnant the whole time, I was craving Doritos. And so whenever he has Doritos, which he eats all the time, there's always Doritos in our house, he'll always say Chloe, or this song reminds me of Chloe. But back then, I think I was just too distraught and overwhelmed in my grief, and I forgot. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I lost all sense of self. And so we then went into taking care of my mother, who required 24-hour day care. And Chloe's dad was phenomenal with her. He changed her diaper, he carried her, he loved her, and he was with her when she died. And so, we both were with her, but she loved him and he loved her. And so when she died, I think that we had already lost one another to the point where there wasn't anything left. And I knew that we were not going to heal together, and we had to heal apart. But the one thing that we have always had is that we are best friends, and he is my family. And even if tomorrow, for whatever reason, it didn't work out, or he changed his mind, or I changed my mind, I will always forever love him. And he's always my child's father. And I have a great respect for that, and he has a great respect for that. But he's always going to be my family. And so there's a huge comfort in that. And so I think when you really have that foundation of love, and when you truly love one another and been through what we've been through by the loss that we've shared, and just life and just all kinds of things that we face together, I think that it will either make you closer or it will tear you guys apart. It tore us apart. And then I think after that, we were able to come back together. But if you were to ask me, well, what happened? I think that I was just succumbed in my grief, and I didn't validate his grief because he was not grieving. Earlier you mentioned, you're like, well, I can't, women are the we're the ones that carry the baby. Absolutely. I think you're 1,000% right. And I think that men as a whole, they don't know how to speak grief. And so if you're sitting there laying in bed crying and you're like, oh, my baby died, my baby died. And they're like, well, honey, why don't you get up? Why don't you try to move around? And you're like, what? Why are you telling me to get up? You just don't understand. You didn't love our daughter the way I loved our daughter. And those were the types of conversations that we would have. And so finally, after a lot of therapy, individual and together, we had to respect each other's grief and loss. And even as a therapist, there will be times where, like, a big thing for us is he has our ashes, and he likes to bring them with us when we travel. And I'm like, do you want to spread them? And he's like, no, I just want her to come with us. And I'm like, why? Why do you? And then I have to really catch myself and say, oh my gosh. And when I started after Chloe, again, we don't, if you ever watch, really pay attention after Chloe, we never say his name. We always call him Chloe's dad, and he loves that. And he's a great sport about participating in reels and videos, and he loves our daughter. And I didn't recognize that the first few years after her loss. I didn't recognize his pain. I didn't think, well, why is he sleeping with her ashes? Because that's all he has left. And so when I stopped judging the grief and I stopped putting constraints on it and what I thought it should be, that's when I was able to honor him and honor his grief.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm believing that's really soaking in and helping someone that's going through the same with their spouse or their partner. Wonderful, wonderful. And I'm so glad that you guys found a way to get it back together. And you guys are both fine with just Chloe.
Well, he has children from a previous marriage. So he has four children from a previous marriage. And so that's a whole other that's a whole package to unwrap. But yeah, I mean, I think that if I would have said, hey, let's have another baby, he'd be like, let's go, you know? But I think he also is a champ in the sense that he comes from a family of eight.
Wow.
And so he is used to having a really big family. And so I couldn't mm-hmm. fathom it. But I think that he wanted to do whatever he needed to do that I am okay. That's yes. what he always said.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So before we wrap up, tell us about After Chloe. Tell us what's offered. Is there courses? Where can we go and check out more of After Chloe?
So After Chloe has definitely evolved. And so we don't only talk about infant and baby and child loss. We have every type of resource for any type of loss, whether that's loss of a parent, a spouse, death by suicide, a long-term illness, siblings, cousins, grandparents.
Wow.
We cover it all. What I like to believe that we are is that we are a huge network of resources. And so we have a website, afterchloe.com. And obviously we're on all the, you know, mentioned earlier, the TikToks mm-hmm. and the Pinterest and the Instagram. But at the core of it, what the real goal is to, again, for you to embrace your grief in order for you to create a life after loss. Mm-hmm. And so whatever that may mean, because again, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I don't even think I'm matcha. I think I'm more, you know, I don't even think I'm tea. I think I'm coffee. I'm a lot. I'm boom, you know, slam dunk. And so I'm not always for everyone. And again, a lot of times women struggle with me, I think, a little bit because I did not have a child after loss. And mm-hmm. I think that I'm everyone's fear, right? And so I think that too can create kind of a wall up. And so I have so many various women that I have been blessed to be in touch with and to connect with, you know, like you, Angela, or there's just so many, I mean, yeah. we're talking over probably 100 different resources of baby, infant loss, stillbirth, child loss, SIDS, yeah. Just a plethora of different, unfortunately, different types of losses that the way that we've lost our children. And so mm-hmm. we provide that. And so, you know, you can check out the website. I have a podcast. It's been on hiatus just because I'm lazy.
It's all right.
But there's a lot of resources. Right. Yeah, we're going to come back strong in August.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to be 50. So we're going to come back in August and do a big 50 episode.
Wonderful.
Thing.
Wonderful.
So, and then yearly we do a holiday summit that's free of charge that we do it online. Hopefully one day it will be in person. Mm-hmm. But we have some amazing sponsors. And so we're able to offer it for free. And you can buy it. You can end up buying it. But we do like different talks and so forth. Because for me, the holidays are always a rough time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm having the summit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sounds wonderful. This platform has just evolved. I know once you first did your video, you never imagined that it would just, wow, all of the lives that you're touching. How wonderful. What a purpose. Mamas, you're listening. You can do it. There is a purpose. And walking through this grief.
And really quickly, Angela, if yes. I can share this, like I used to think that I'm a logical person. And so when we measure things by metrics or by the viral, something going viral or, you know, how many people follow you on whatever platform or how many views you have on your website or how many hits we have right. on these podcasts. But I'll tell you something. If you understand that your purpose may be you're talking to one person at a time and you're reaching one person in line at the grocery store or at Target wow. or at Walmart, or if you go and you go and buy a lost mother a book, or you sit with your friend that had a miscarriage and you're the only person that she's told, or you hold someone's hand when they realize that they can't have children and IVF isn't working or they can't afford it. To me, that's a greater purpose than 10 after Chloe's.
Wow. That just needed to be said. Yes. That needed to be said. I've told mothers, it could be just baking cookies,
yes,
and taking them over.
Yes.
It could be something that simple. That simple. Wow, that was wonderful. Wonderful. So how I end each podcast, and I just have the question that I ask all my mamas, and that is, what is your hope of heaven? What's your hopes of heaven?
My mom was an accountant, and she had this amazing client, and his wife and both of his sons died in a short amount of time, and he's remarried, and he does well, and he's got some great stepchildren, but he and I have this conversation often, and there's an author by the name of C.W. Lewis,
uh-huh,
and he wrote the book, The Great Divorce.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of the talk about his wife dying and how his viewpoint of heaven and all the different people that he meets along the way.
Yeah.
And I asked the man, his name is Rocky, and I asked him, I said, well, what do you think heaven's like? And he says, there's so many verses in the Bible that says heaven is beyond our wildest expectation.
Yeah.
And I have dabbled in mediums approaching me, and they'll say things that I know that only they can know. And I think that there's certain lights that come where I think our loved ones let us know that they're okay and good. And I will tell you, I think that Chloe is floating on the biggest cloud, talking to Alana, saying, look, our moms met, we've been friends now, or, you know, or I'm sure Chloe's friends with all of your babies, whoever is listening. And I know that they're at peace and they're safe.
Yes.
And not that that's supposed to lessen our grief, right? Because we want them here, but I know that she's taken care of. It's a great feeling to know that she's with my parents. It's a great feeling to know that my mother's combing her hair. After my mom died, I remember thinking, thank God, because my dad could never comb her hair. And I was like, is there like messing Chloe's hair up? But I believe that heaven is beyond our wildest expectation, but I know that they're safe and they're waiting for us, but not where they're, oh my gosh, when is my mom going to get here?
Yes.
But instead knowing my mom will be here with me someday. My dad will be here with me someday. And that is a great, great comfort.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Excellent. I love your hope of heaven. I love it. All right. So Mello, I just want to thank you again for joining me. I want to thank you for encouraging all the angel moms that's listening to the podcast all around the globe. And I want to encourage you that your purpose and your platform is helping and blessing so many others. Yeah. And we are rooting for you. We're rooting for you.
Yes.
So thanks again and take care. All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to.
And I want to take our picture, Angela, before we leave.
Sure.
Say something. There we go. There we go. So I can say that so we can share it on social media.
Fine. Okay.